Hey guys. Hey. My name is Nathan. I'm the pastor here at Genesis Boyne, and in case you were wondering, the rapture did not happen. It's just spring break. And Pazowski had the exact same thing. Everybody, like, you showed up and was like, what in the world happened here? It's like a bomb went off or something. No, it's just spring break. Everybody's enjoying themselves. Like, half of our church, we have a campus this week down in Florida. I think it's made up of about as many people as are here. So, yeah, it's crazy this week that everybody's out. But anyway, so we are in week 4 of our Behind the Music series. And what we're doing in this series, for those of you who are new here, we are looking at the songs we sing, and we're looking at the lyrics behind them, and then the scripture that's behind that. So we're kind of building a narrative here and understanding, what do we sing, why do we sing it, and what is the scriptural backing for it? And so over the last few weeks, what we found is that each of the 30 songs that we sing that's on our Spotify, each of those fits into at least one of 5 different categories. In the first week, what we talked about was, first category, the greatness of God. And it's like, how do we even understand that? Okay, let's try again. So it really can't even be fathomed. And especially when you're comparing it to what we see in week 2, which is the... Okay, so second week, we're going to get there, I promise. Second week, brokenness of man. And we found out that really between the greatness of God and the brokenness of man, we have a huge gap that we cannot overcome. We cannot personally overcome. And so how do we do that? That would be week 3. And week 3 is the love of God. That is the bridge between the greatness of God and the brokenness of man. That no matter what we've said, no matter what we've done, no matter what we've thought, God in his infinite love, he loves us. And it is a beautiful picture of God relentlessly pursuing us. So then what do we have to do? And that is week 4. What we need to do is we need to be prepared for man to die to self, and for man to accept God. And so that's beautifully told throughout some of our songs. And the first one is, it's called Lay Me Down. And what it says is, I'm letting go of my pride. You start off with Lay Me Down, and it's saying, I am letting go of my pride. And we see that echoed in Psalms 10:4, where it says, the wicked are too proud to seek God. They seem to think that God is dead. And that is a popular thing. Nietzsche has really brought that up over the past 100 years, the concept that God is dead. What we're seeing here is the wicked are too proud to seek God because they think God is dead. We have to be willing to let go of our pride. And that's hard. That is a hard thing to do because when...
Okay, handheld. For those of you who are listening online, you are like, what in the world is happening? The microphone keeps going off, it keeps going on, it keeps going off, it keeps going on. That's the summary of it. So for those of you who are listening online, thanks, but that's the weirdness. Okay, so I'm letting go of my pride. Like, the thing is, we are brought up in the concept of pride. We are brought up thinking we are the center of the world. When you're a baby, everybody coddles you, everybody does for your every whim. When we make decisions, we think, now how's that best going to affect me? What job can I take that'll be best for me? Where can I go that'll be best for me? What'll be best for, at least for my family? If you're thinking a little bit, if you're thinking of a little bit of others, you're just thinking of your family. But letting go of your pride and realizing that life is not about you. I'm letting go of my pride. I'm giving up all my rights. Luke says it this way. You cannot become my disciple without giving up everything that you own. I'm giving up all my rights? That is not going to fly well in this country. Different countries act differently. We were built on a bill of rights. I have the right to do this, and I have the right to do that, and I have the right to do this, and you cannot tell me otherwise, and you are not going to take away my rights. Whether or not the rights are good, whether or not the rights are bad. I mean, even when we got to slavery, there was a whole civil war about that whole thing. People did not want to give up their right to own other people. We do not give up our rights easily. So saying, I'm giving up my rights, and Jesus, you see, saying, everything, giving up everything. Everything is not some things. Everything is not most of our things. Everything is everything. So house, be willing to give that up. That's part of everything. Your family. I'm not willing to give up my family for Jesus. There are verses that say, you are going to have to leave your brother, your sister, your mother, your father. If that's what God calls you to, everything is everything. Our reputation. We stake a lot on our reputation, that we are a man or a woman of honor. Everything. We have to be willing to give up everything and say, God, I lay me down. I am not my own. I belong to you alone. Because guys, we are not our own. And 1 Corinthians says this explicitly. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. And that echoes itself throughout our entire lives. Glorify God. You are not your own. And the thing is, once you start that process, you have a whole new life to look forward to. You have a song of hope that you can sing. And in that song of hope, we get to say things like, guys, it's all things new. We get to start again. Romans 4:6 says it this way, for we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we may live new lives. But it's all things new that we can start again. And then kind of a mind-blowing addition to that is the Creator God, that greatness of God, that Almighty God we talked about in week one, calling us his friend. John says it this way. It's Jesus talking, saying, I no longer call you slaves. Because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. No, now you are my friends, since I have told you everything that the Father has told me. We end up, we get to sing praises. Our souls get to praise the maker of the heavens and the earth, the maker of the sky. Psalm says it this way, let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. That my soul gets to sing those praises. Sing praise, my soul, to the maker of the skies. That my song will rise. That we get the opportunity, guys. We get the opportunity to sing a song of hope. That we get to sing about the fact that the God of heaven comes down. That heaven came down to us. John 1, the Word, God, Jesus, became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. That heaven came down to us. That transformation. Think about the transformation that that gives us. That we have this new life in God. And the thing is, it continues on throughout our entire lives. We're never finished. The race isn't finished while we're still alive. I don't know about you, but I haven't reached the pinnacle of all Christianity. I am not at the pinnacle of preaching. Our band is not at the pinnacle of being a worship team. Like, none of us have reached the pinnacle of where we are. The race continues. We continue to grow. We continue to seek. We continue to develop and build our relationship with him. We continue to work to improve because of our passion, our love for him. None of us have made it. We have to remember that. We have to continue to pursue, to work to become more and more like Jesus. And that's one of the great, beautiful lines from Everbee, a new song that we're going to be singing. The concept of, now you are making me like you. more and more like you every day. 2 Corinthians. So all of us who have had that veil removed and can see and reflect the glory of the Lord, which, by the way, that is a super cool concept and is so incredibly accurate, that we are walking around life with this veil over us, that we can't see things clearly. We're kind of muddling through because we have this thick, it's clouding, it's obscuring everything that we do. And then all of a sudden, that veil is removed, and we can reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. So yeah, now you're making me like you. You're clothing me in white. Isaiah says it this way, though your sins, they are like scarlet. They're like blood. I will make them white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them white as wool. Another beautiful picture. You're making me like you. You're clothing me in white. You're bringing beauty out of ashes. For God is going to have His bride. Again, Isaiah, to all who mourn in Israel, He will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In verse 10, I am overwhelmed with the joy in the Lord my God, for He has dressed me in robes, or He has dressed me with clothing of salvation and draped me in a robe of righteousness. And I'm like a bridegroom dressed for his wedding, or a bride with her jewels. Again, I just, like, these are such great metaphors. They're so just such great, like, draped in a robe of righteousness. That's beautiful. And that is why we sing. That is why His praise will forever be on our lips. It will ever, forever be on our lips. And the Bible affirms this in Revelation 5. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea. And they sang, blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Your praise will forever be on our lips. Forever we have a love, and forever we can show that love to God. And I don't want to leave this sermon without giving you the very direct answer, because some of you guys may be sitting out there going, okay, how do you do it then? Is there like a class? Do I need to read a bunch of scripture? Do I need to like say some magical words? Because this is like one of the biggest decisions that anybody will ever make in their lives. And I love how simple it is made. I Will Follow gives a great example of how this is just boiled down. I believe everything that you say that you are. And I believe, I have seen your unchanging heart. Acts 16, they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. That's it. I believe, and I will follow you. That's it. I believe, and I will follow you. Romans 10:9, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Not you will be saved if you read the entire Bible 3 times. Not you will be saved if you go to 18 classes. Not you will be saved if you give half of your money to the church. No, if you declare that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved, period. Period. That is the love of Jesus. Man dying to man, man following God. That is the beauty of God's love. Let's pray.